Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
No easy answers, but some important questions to ask here as we get into the fall and the county begins to craft its budget for 2025 that apparently is going to look a lot different than supervisors and the county executive expected.
And unfortunately, I have worse news.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Vetrano.
Coming up on 6:12 on this Wednesday morning, Michelle Richards in for Eric today. Welcome.
Morning.
And through the week, yes, we have.
Yes, next week too.
Good for you.
It is.
So I want to put this on your radar this morning. A stunning fiscal update for Milwaukee County. Remember the sales tax increase is going to bring money flooding into the county, stabilize the budget, leave room for some extras even, and at least get the county perhaps started on some major, more than $1 billion in deferred maintenance backlog. From the Comptroller's Office, Financial Services Director CJ Paul.
Here to present a not-so-pretty May fiscal report. As you can see, our fiscal condition has worsened to about a $9 million deficit. And unfortunately, I have worse news on the sales tax front.
Whoa, worse news. Continue.
I have worse news on the sales tax front, which will likely push that deficit up by $8 to $10 million. Bringing that deficit closer to $17 or $19 million.
Financial Services Director for Milwaukee County, CJ Paul, addressing the county's Finance Committee. To great fanfare, a deal struck with state legislators. The county was allowed to increase its sales tax from 0.5% to 0.9%. And in fairness, nobody said it was going to fix everything. But didn't you have the impression, Michelle, like, This was really good. There was a lot of celebrating, like almost this exhale of, all right, this will stabilize
right,
the ground.
We've got a solution.
Yes.
Things will be fine.
Not enough. Still not enough. And if you were hoping that it might bring about some property tax relief, it's not only not going to do that, but it won't be long probably before you start to hear some talk, maybe quietly at first, of increasing that tax. What's at play? Milwaukee Journal Sentinel looked at the full report for the Comptroller's Office, ballooning overtime costs for the understaffed sheriff's office, one of the big contributors. That office remains on an unstable path financially and as well for the men and women who work there, be it the courts, the jail, corrections, they're out on the freeways. No easy answers, but some important questions to ask here as we get into the fall and the county begins to craft its budget for 2025 that apparently is going to look a lot different than supervisors and the county executive expected.
And unfortunately, I have worse news.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
So, in a traditional baseball season, you win 60 games, you lose 60 games. That's the absolute. That's about the rule of thumb, if you will. It's what you do with the other 42 that you make up a season with. Well, this is the one the Brewers lost.
1-1. Lifted deep into left field, backing up Chorio all the way back onto the track. Looks up, it is gone. Jared Kelnick brings many Waukesha natives to their feet. It's like a Brewer just hit a home run with this ovation for the local kid.
Okay, so the only sauce that we could take is Waukesha West product. Jared Kelnick went yard at AmFam Field.
He had a day. Okay, great. You had yours, kid. Thank you.
Yeah.
But let's be done with that.
At least you kind of used it up today. Brewers, that would take the 5-0 lead for the Braves. The Brewers would only play one more run in the seventh. That would ultimately fall to the Braves, 5-1. The rubber match this afternoon, our coverage starts here on WTMJ at 12:35. A 1:10 first pitch for that one at AmFam Field. MLB trade deadline has passed, officially closing the 5 p.m. local time yesterday. Brewers did their trading in July, adding three pitchers, but no more activity yesterday. The one move they did make official, though, was the signing of starting pitcher Frankie Montas to the team.
So, not often, Greg, you want to hear your team's defensive coordinator say this.
Dad, I don't think I have any clue what that's going to be like.
Okay. Oh, no.
There's Packers' new guy there, defensive coordinator Jeff Hamfley. That was out of context. Here's the context. He's talking this week at training camp. He was talking about just how amazing the environment is in Green Bay. You got sold out family night coming Saturday. He said he can't even imagine, given that 1,500 fans pack Ray Nitschke Field daily to watch practice.
Shoot, I left last night late, and I think people were tailgating in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night, We ended practice at like 12:15. I mean, there was people tailgating in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Practice had been over for 6 hours.
I'm mostly proud of that.
Yeah, is that a little concerning?
Right, although, right. Welcome to Green Bay, Coach. 10:30 practice today. Open to the best fans in the NFL once again.
And she got her victory lap. She's taking it. She's been teasing it. That, of course, is Simone Biles, a medal count check at the United States, adding a few more medals. One of those, of course, including the gold in women's gymnastics, all-around competition. Good for the U.S. women's team coming off of silver in Tokyo in 2020. Remember, Biles had to withdraw from the competition. People were criticizing her for dipping out, thinking, you know, they could easily fill in for her. Yes, miss me with that. She got her victory lap, though. She's taking it. She's been teasing the nickname for her gymnastics team, which has been kind of under lock and key until now. Seeing that they are the oldest gymnastics team at the Olympics this year, their nickname has been the Golden Girls. And the Golden Girls took their lap with a gold medal in the all-around competition. Way to go, ladies.
Yeah, it would have less of a good ring if they hadn't gotten that gold.
Yeah, no wonder they kept it kind of low-key until they won. So it's good to let it out there.
We'll go live to the Olympics in Paris, France, with ABC News coming up next. They're back at the pool already this morning in Paris, France. The Olympic Games roll on. American Katie Ledecky will go for gold in the 1500-meter final later today. U.S. men's and women's basketball both play today. ABC News correspondent Ines de la Cotera is live in Paris this morning. Ines, you went to women's gymnastics Tuesday night. Simone Biles and the U.S. team locked it in.
I did, yes. It was incredibly exciting. So they did win the gold, which was their big redemption. I think there was a lot of disappointment last Olympics in Tokyo when they were favored to win gold but ended up with silver because Simone Biles had to withdraw. So they had their sights set on gold here, and they didn't disappoint. You had Simone Biles competing in all four events. They did incredibly well. They finished way ahead of their competition. Their floor routines for all three of them were dynamic, stunning. On the beam, Suni Lee absolutely killed it. She outdid herself, performed a routine that was even harder than during qualification. So their gold certainly well-deserved, and I was in the room for the first half. I then had to run out and get some work done, but I did get to see vaults and uneven bars, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. I mean, so many Team USA fans in there. I think they were probably in the majority. So many American flags everywhere. And when Team USA walked out into the room, the crowd just went absolutely wild. So really fun to see that atmosphere in Paris.
And the stars were out as well. Celebrity watch. Anybody cool that you got to see or rub up against?
I didn't actually catch anyone, no, but I did see afterwards that there were people like Nicole Kidman there.
Yeah, so no.
It was absolutely, I think Natalie Portman as well. So star-studded, as were the qualifications. And we're not done. Up next is the men's are competing tonight in the individual medals, the men's gymnastics team. And then going forward will be the women's kind of individual medals. So we'll have the women's all-around coming up next with both Suni Lee and Simone Biles actually competing against each other here. The first time that two all-around champions will be competing in the all-around final, both from the same country.
And maybe not as high on people's radar, the rugby team did really well too, right? The women's rugby?
They did, yeah. So it was, you know, kind of a last-minute win for them with Alex Cedric in a final play pulling it off for Team USA, and so they won the bronze medal. So that was very exciting. They were up against Australia. They're pretty pretty good. So yeah, I mean, we've been doing really well in a bunch of different disciplines. They've, you know, Team USA has medaled in terms of swimming and fencing, gymnastics, of course. You know, it's been very, very cool to see all the different disciplines. And we are now, in terms of the medal count, we are now at 26 medals, so leading in terms of the total number of medals. We've got 4 gold, 11 bronzes, 11 silvers.
Talking with Ines de la Cotera of ABC News. She is live with us in Paris. On the more disappointing end, Ines, U.S. tennis star Coco Gauff, she still has doubles. She's in both the mixed doubles and your regular all-female doubles with a chance to medal in both. But she lost Tuesday, kind of in stunning fashion. She was the number 2 seed.
That's right. Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer. You know, she's a U.S. tennis star. She was one of the flag bearers during the opening ceremony for Team USA. She was eliminated from the women's singles portion of the game. She was defeated in the third round by a Croatian player, Dana Vekic. She also kind of lost her cool at one point, which was a bummer. She had a lengthy argument with the umpire over a call. She was, clearly getting frustrated with that. She was in tears by the end of it. And she later said she feels she always has to advocate for herself on the court. So a bit of a bummer there for Coco Gauff. She does continue to compete, though, in doubles. So we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, a bit of a bummer for her yesterday.
And the swimmers were able to get into the River Seine. They pulled it off.
They did. They pulled it off. We were all very skeptical. I was very skeptical myself. They had to cancel training sessions over the weekend because of heavy rains. And then they actually had to cancel the men's triathlon event or postpone the men's triathlon event yesterday. But both events, both the men and women's triathlon events, went ahead as planned today. They did take that historic plunge in the river, the first time in 100 years that anyone has been swimming in the river. So it's a big deal. Very exciting. And it was a French woman who won the women's competition and Team GB Great Britain that won the men's competition.
Is it as hot there as everyone is saying, Ennis?
It's awful. It's absolutely boiling. Yes, hottest day of the year ever yesterday. It's a little cooler today, but we're all very sweaty. There's barely any AC in Paris, so that's been fun. And, it makes it more complicated for athletes, too, who are competing in this heat.
Yeah, you want to set records at the Olympics. That's not one you want. Ines de la Catera from ABC News. Appreciate you this morning.
Thank you.
As you heard Ines say, the medal count, U.S. leading all nations, 26 total. Though further down the list with gold medals, we are at 4, but more to come for sure in the pool. Live from Paris, that was Ines de la Catera of ABC News. News about your money this morning, WTMJ Annex Wealth Management Market Update. Eric would be so happy. Brewers can't find the offense, but we try again this afternoon. Afternoon baseball here on WTMJ. We'll do it all in sports at 6:45.
The U.S. Surgeon General has said that the U.S. is in the midst of a loneliness epidemic, maybe since COVID, maybe longer, not quite sure how long.
COVID exacerbated everything. Right?
Yes. But the American Friendship Project has just done a new report on the state of Americans and what kind of friends they have.
A new study suggests adults have more friends than recent surveys have suggested. A study by Colorado State University researchers followed nearly 6,000 Americans. They found Americans average 4 or 5 friends, while 2% say they are friendless. Those numbers are in line with data going back as far as 1970.
Interesting, because it depends on how you define friend. I bet we all define that somewhat differently. It's nuanced.
Right. Like best friends or like people you know and hang out with. Like I think of all my kids and their friends' parents who I'm friends with. And
but can you call them to take you to the airport?
I probably could. There are some that would take me to the airport
now
that we're
that's
very
a
close with. Yes.
Absolutely. 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We got an Everyday Hero coming up next.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, trade deadline. Window is closed. More of that in a moment first, but at least there's one feel-good story out of AmFam Field yesterday. Spoiler, though, it's not about the Brewers.
1-1. Lifted deep into left field, backing up Churio all the way back onto the track. Looks up, it is gone. Jared Kelnick brings many Waukesha natives to their feet. It's like a Brewer just hit a home run with this ovation for the local kid.
Yeah, the Waukesha West product return home goes yard and gives the Brewers fans actually something to cheer for. But that would be the last run the Braves would get. Wouldn't matter, though. That was run number 5. The Brewers would only score 1 run, so the Brewers fall to the Braves 5-1. Joe Ross made his return to the mound after a stint on the IL. It wasn't the best. Got beat up in the third inning pretty good. So we'll see what's next for Ross. As for what's next for the Brewers, talk about a pitching matchup today. Freddy Peralta taking on Chris Sale at AmFam this afternoon. That Chris Sale. Haven't heard that name in a while, right?
Yeah, and Freddy needs to have a good outing here.
Indeed. So hopefully the fastball is hitting, locating well. First pitch set for 1:10 this afternoon. Coverage starting right here on WTMJ at 12:35.
Green Bay Packers get back to it in training camp today.
We're talking about practice.
10:30 practice open to the fans in Green Bay. Open to the fans, I said, and the fans are turning out. We know. We know this is how it goes, but some guys are new to the organization this year.
How awesome are the fans here?
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, hired in the offseason, talking this week about training camp and the environment in Green Bay.
I mean, the kids are lining up with their bikes. I mean, people asking for autographs. Every day you walk through, and it feels like game day. And then you walk, and It's a sellout practice, and there's people in the stands.
I love it. Welcome to Green Bay, Coach.
Love it. What a warm welcome, too. They didn't even do it on purpose. They were just doing what they do. You just happen to be a part of it, too, so welcome to it. Olympics check-in. USA, 26 total medals, adding a gold in women's gymnastics yesterday. Now, men's basketball takes on South Sudan at 2 p.m. this afternoon. You think, USA, we need to dominate in basketball, right? Well, it's mostly the case, but South Sudan actually gave USA the business and exhibition play. LeBron needed to make a game winner in the final seconds. Granted, it was exhibition, but still, guard Steph Curry isn't taking it lightly.
We have appropriate fear of everybody. Like, it's the exhibition schedule was great because you got to figure out where we need to get better and also feel the force of teams that are coming trying to beat us.
So, don't say exhibition doesn't matter. At least he gave you a scouting report for today's matchup.
What did he say? Appropriate fear
appropriate
of everybody?
Fear. That's okay. Been the headline. So that's kind of been like the getcha line. Like, yeah. Appropriate fear. Okay. Watch him win by 50. It'd be great.
That would be great. 6:48 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Milwaukee County's new increased sales tax is not the panacea it may have been advertised as. This is Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley, a year ago, advocating for a 0.4% increase in the county sales tax, which he ultimately did get.
We are not able to provide the programs and services that so many in our community, our most vulnerable constituents, absolutely rely on. And that's extremely important in why we needed the local option sales tax, because it not only addresses the scale, but it's also the cheapest option that we have available in making sure that we can fill the gap to provide these services.
Despite that sales tax in the county now at nearly 1%, that gap persists. What was once a projected surplus for this budget year has not come to fruition. In fact, it looks like we're ending 2024 in a multi-million dollar deficit, according to recent information from the county comptroller's office. What happened? Dr. Ken Harris, former Milwaukee police lieutenant, host of the afternoon show on 101.7 The Truth. Dr. Ken, good morning.
Two or more quarters with inflation and prices going up, it's called a recession. What did they think they were going to get? So now we have a recession. The poor you're trying to help don't pay that much in taxes. And the people that do pay taxes, the biggest group, the middle class, decided, well, I'm not spending that much money. I can't. Everything's expensive.
So some of those are economic drivers. Do you see behavioral changes as well? Do you think people are leaving the county to make big ticket purchases?
Ask me, do I buy my gas in Milwaukee County?
Ken, where you get your gas?
Washington County, Ozaukee County, or Waukesha County. I mean, at some point you have to understand that it's too expensive to live in Milwaukee. I understand the need for the 2%, but here's the flip side. Why don't you make it easier to start a business? One or two good side hustles in a household, and you've got your $19 million in tax. But instead, I was literally filling paperwork out. It's so onerous. It's like, why am I doing this? It doesn't make any sense.
Let me ask you this, too. A lot of blame put on huge deficits that persist in the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. They are understaffed. They have ballooning overtime costs. Right. And that's one of those things where the worse it gets, right? Right. When you have, and that's a hard job, right, whether you're talking about courts, freeway patrol, right, corrections, all right of that, the jail, hard job. Then you're asking folks to work 50 and 60 hours a week.
Right.
Some of that's mandatory overtime. So the more you work them, the more people quit. The more people quit, the more you want to quit. Like, is there a way out of this?
Well, you have to talk to the state of Wisconsin and Governor Evers, because there's a state mandate that you have to have a county court system, you have to have bailiffs, you have to have sheriffs, you have to do the highways. They just don't give you any money for it. So you're kind of stuck in this quandary of, where do I find the money?
The unfunded mandate,
the
right?
The unfunded mandate. Right. And so what do you do? We've got a bazillion of those throughout the state. And we're wondering why these agencies are running out of money. Well, they're running out of money because you put in a mandate and then you don't help them.
The issue here as well is this massive backlog in deferred maintenance topping $1 billion already. And I think that's before you talk about bulldozing the safety building, which we've needed to do for at least two decades.
Since,
right?
I've been here, since 1993.
Right. Right. So what's... like, a lot of questions, but very few answers. What's the answer going to be? Are they going to come for property taxes again?
I don't know if I have an answer. They probably will. But I ask you to think about New Orleans during a time when a tornado came, hurricane, And, you know, that thing called the dam broke, right? Well, that's what's going to happen around Milwaukee with infrastructure. I was looking at a railroad overpass. I could literally see the rhubarb. And, you know, rhubarb isn't near the surface.
Dude, rhubarb is what grows in the garden. I believe you're looking for rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
Hey, man, if we could farm that rhubarb,
it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. Source. What are we supposed to do?
No, I see
you,
though.
But rhubarb, you know, you can see it, and it's usually close to the middle. And I'm thinking to myself, that's probably got another maybe 6 months, and it's going to come down. Problem is, it's an overpass. What do you do? How do you fix these things? Well, they should have fixed it before, but they're doing what New Orleans did. We'll just wait another year. We'll spend it on this instead. And now we're here.
Not an optimistic forecast. No. Dr. Ken Harris, host of the afternoon show. Thank you, sir.
Worse news on the sales tax front, which will likely push that deficit up by $8 to $10 million, bringing that deficit closer to $17 or $19 million.